The title that I've chosen for this morning's message is called A Bad Smell. And the opening scripture verse that we read speaks about, I'll just reread the first bit of it. Just now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. I have had quite a struggle going back to work this term. I go on about it so often, you'll be pleased when I do finally retire so I can stop talking about the fact that I'm going to retire soon. But this, everything now is coming together in terms of my replacement has been appointed, I am being phased out, and the person replacing me is learning my job. Now, she has a lot of school leadership experience, so there are no concerns whatsoever around her capabilities with respect to coming up to the plate as a leader and making sure that things happen. She's very much a make things happen kind of person. The problem that I've been experiencing over the last couple of weeks is that she has that confidence of being a leader, which is fantastic, but she actually doesn't have a whole lot of experience working with children with learning disabilities and difficulties, and she's not a specialist in special educational needs, which is what my job role is. So we knew that right from the start, and it was very important that she and I were able to have time together before I left so that I could guide her through things and answer questions and model and all of that. And in theory, that should all be great, and the time is available, not the time in the day, but that I am there until Christmas. So we are both physically in this job role together so that I can gradually hand everything over to her. But we are very, very different personalities, the two of us. And already, just within 2 weeks, I've felt that she has taken over things that we hadn't agreed that she would take over at this stage. And I have had to admit that my pride has been seriously knocked into defense mode. I have been acutely aware of criticism in my heart, and I have unfortunately and probably embarrassingly fallen into the trap of commenting to other people about my observations of her methods, comments really which have not been complimentary. The Lord has very clearly convicted me of having a bad smell. Every negative, critical, and defensive thought that I entertain in the privacy of my own heart exudes a putrid smell to those around me and does not glorify God. Our journey on this earth as believers offers us a daily choice between our old man and the new man, which takes on and is covered by the righteousness of Christ. As believers, we're being transformed by the washing and renewing of ourselves by the Holy Spirit. We all come to salvation from a position of sin and separation from God, which now no longer defines us due to the mercy he has extended to us through Christ. Our remit for how we are to live out our daily lives has changed with our salvation. I think it's expressed well in chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. No matter how many years we have been following the Lord, sin will still be a problem. No matter how fully we desire to be obedient to him in all things, aspects of our old nature will, without fail, rise to the surface. These reminders of our old man behaviors and attitudes need to alert us to the dangers of self-righteousness. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Paul himself recognized this in himself. He knew that he was a strict follower of the law and was more righteous in that respect than probably most other people of his generation. But once he encountered Christ, he saw very clearly how filthy he really was. His previous self-generated righteous behavior was no longer valuable to him when he saw it for what it really was. I think this is reflected in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." We must recognize that until we reach heaven and are transformed into his image, we will struggle in this body of death. We will repeatedly disappoint ourselves when we see ourselves doing the very things we genuinely do not want to do. And Paul says it himself in Romans 7, verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Our sin is no longer actually a problem as Christians. The problem we have as Christians is in considering ourselves as being more together, more on top of our issues than other people. If we humbly acknowledge where we go wrong and turn to the Lord for forgiveness, we can move forward in his righteousness. 1 John 1, verses 8 to 9 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." When the Lord convicted me of my bad smell, it brought to mind a situation I have in my new house. My house has a septic tank, as it's just a bit too far down the road for it to be able to connect onto the mains for both the sewerage and the gas. I also have an oil tank and solar panels because I can't connect to gas. I have two showers in my house. One of them is in the ensuite bathroom, which is in Claire's bedroom, and the other is in the main bathroom. The shower in the main bathroom has never been used, as I prefer baths. I'm just not a shower person. Claire doesn't live at home anymore, and when she visits, she also uses my bathtub because she's not a shower person, so she uses my bathtub. Every so often, a very profound bad smell comes into the house in both bathrooms. I had been able to work out that the smell did originate in the showers, but I never really understood why. So as I was working on this message, I just thought, I'm going to Google this and see if I can understand why I have this bad smell coming from the showers, and is it linked to the working of my septic tank? The answer provided an effective analogy for this message. Unless water is being run through the pipework on a regular basis, the pipes become dry. With normal washing and running through of water, a certain amount of water sits in the bend of the waste pipe and acts as a barrier which prevents the gases from the septic tank to feed back into the house through the pipe. The septic tank itself breaks down the waste and fats from the waste pipes and organically cleanses them. This is what Paul says to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 5, verses 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. It was God's word that convicted me that my critical and defensive attitude toward the person taking over my job was sinful and exuded a bad smell, preventing me from being the fragrance of Christ as we are called to be to the people around us. When I spoke the last time about the world behind us and the cross before us, I spoke about the sacrificial life that we choose to live as believers. It's all well and good talking the talk. It is far more painful and raw when you are living it out in practice. I have really, really struggled over the past 2 weeks at school. My defense mechanisms have been in overdrive as I have felt undermined and criticized by someone who does not have the expertise that I have, nor the years of experience that I have. But Paul in the scriptures has this to say to me in Romans 12, verses 1 to 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Instead of feeling jealous, criticized, or undermined, the Lord reminded me that I needed to go to him for forgiveness and for cleansing from my old man unrighteousness. I needed to ask him to give me love for the person who was causing me pain and for the grace to be able to respond to her and any unpleasant situation I found myself in with humility and forgiveness. All of my human accolades are fleeting and corruptible, and I do not need to protect them. If any of my thoughts, attitudes, and behaviors prioritize my own sinful flesh, then they will become a bad smell to others who know that I am a professing Christian. The process of purification is ongoing and will last a lifetime. Just like water needs to run through my shower waste pipes regularly to prevent bad smells from coming back into the house, so too we need to lay before the feet of Jesus any new area of sin that he exposes to us as we meditate on his word and communicate with him through prayer. We have layer upon layer of old man issues that the Holy Spirit will gradually pull away and expose to us by convicting our hearts of where we fall short of God's perfect will for us. We have to surrender ourselves as a living sacrifice in order for this to happen. The Holy Spirit is not going to force us to do anything. He leads, he steers, he nudges, but he never forces us. We have to go to him. As he purifies us, he increases our capacity to love others and to be a pleasing fragrance that smells of his love. 1 Peter 1, verses 22 to 25. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Christ gave himself to death on the cross so that we can know freedom from our sins and enjoy the cleansing from the stench of our old nature. We're called upon to be imitators of Christ and God as we walk through this life until his return. I think it's summed up well in Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that as we offer ourselves as living sacrifices to you, Lord, that is going to mean genuine pain in our lives. There are places where we need major cleansing, and the sin that we experience is hard. It's painful. But Lord, we know that you are faithful, and we know that we cannot cleanse ourselves. Only you can cleanse us and transform us into the sweet-smelling aroma that you are to God and that we are in you. Just thank you, Lord Jesus, that you convict our hearts of things that we are still struggling with and that we're still failing to do the right thing about. But Lord, you know that. And you know that if we come to you, you are right there to forgive us and to cleanse us and to set us back on the road out there amongst people who need the sweet smell of you in their lives. I ask, Heavenly Father, that we can be those people. In Jesus' name, amen.